Looking forward to this conversation. The news breaking yesterday that Jimmy Carter, at the age of 39, at the age of 100, our 39th president, had passed away. And I talked to Dave about it, and we decided to pursue Jonathan Alter, because Jonathan Alter's book in 2020 on Jimmy Carter is viewed by many, if not most, as the definitive book on Jimmy Carter and his entire life, his very best Jimmy Carter life. And Jonathan Alter is with us. Jonathan, I appreciate you coming on. Jonathan, like all of our guests, he is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. If you've paid attention to politics for a number of decades, Jonathan Alter has been all over it, whether it's in books, in print, documentaries, radio analysis, television analysts, and he is with us to talk about the life of Jimmy Carter. Thank you so much for your time. Let me pick up on one of the lines and one of the quotes from your book. Emory University President James Laney once said, "Jimmy Carter is the only person in history for whom the presidency was a stepping stone." Why was Carter so committed to so much after he left the White House?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I think that he was always an intense person. I asked his son, Jeff, once, if you could use one word, what would it be to describe your father? And that's the word he used, intense. And so he'd always been a problem solver. He'd always been in search of how to use his faith to help other people as well as himself. And he always had a sense of injustice. And so when he left the presidency, he indicated before he even left that he didn't want to play golf and, you know,
make speeches,
go on board, and, yeah, make speeches.
Right.
And he wanted to do something different, but he wasn't sure what that was. And then in the middle of the night, a couple of years after he left office, he woke up in the middle of the night and he was thinking about Camp David, where, you know, he had brought peace mm-hmm. between Egypt and Israel. This is the most durable, most significant peace treaty since World War II. And imagine if Egypt and Israel were fighting each other now in the Middle East on top of everything else. So he was thinking about Camp David, and he thought, why can't I continue the kind of work I did at Camp David and start a center for conflict resolution? So that was the original idea of the Carter Center. And then it broadened into many other areas of global health and, you know, eradicating a disease that afflicted 3.5 million people, and now I think there's about 15 people in the world who have guinea worm disease, and a whole set of other things he did on democracy promotion, and not to mention championing Habitat for Humanity. So I think he had always felt a calling. He'd always been almost a pilgrim, and he needed to find an outlet for his astonishing energy and that of his wife, Rosalind, because they did all this together.
When you think back and all the work you did on his presidency itself, and there's been even a further examination on that in the last 24 hours, what would you say is the biggest fallacy, the most misleading, the false perception about his 4 years as the president of this country?
So I actually asked him that question, and the answer that he gave, I agree with. He said the biggest misimpression was that he was weak. And any study of Jimmy Carter suggests, you know, what a tough-minded character he was, sometimes to a fault. When he was governor of Georgia, they called him Jungle Jimmy. But the reason that he was perceived as weak is that he didn't bomb Iran after they took our hostages, because he didn't want the hostages killed. Now, arguably, he let himself be held hostage by the Ayatollah, by maybe talking about the hostages a lot more than he should. You know, there are American hostages in Gaza right now. You never hear anything about them.
Nope.
And that's partly because Biden didn't want to repeat that mistake of Carter. But he, in that sense,
was it also the media too, Jonathan? It was such a huge part of, I mean, Ted Koppel and Nightline evolving that way. And it was every day we talked, as you know very well, about the hostages and when are we getting them or what do we have to do? For those who have hostages abroad right now, they wish that was happening, but that media coverage is so different.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Walter Cronkite said, that's the way it is, November 28th, 1979, the whatever day of captivity for the U.S. hostages in Iran, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Netanyahu was, you know, obsessed with getting the hostages back more than fighting Hamas. So Carter didn't want to go to war with Iran. I think he was right about that. He felt if he did, that all the hostages would be killed. But he also he knew that by making this decision, even his wife wondered why he didn't just bomb them. By showing restraint and eventually successfully negotiating for their release, that he could save their lives. And indeed, he did. They all came home intact.
Jonathan Alter is with us. We're talking about his book on Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter, the 39th president, passing away. When we think about his life after and human rights and his willingness to meet with some pretty evil, vicious dictators, and sometimes a dynamic with the president at the time where sometimes, as you know well, it could be great. They appreciated what he was doing. Other times they were furious. How would you describe that part where one moment the current president loved that Carter was doing it, and another time the current president wanted to remind him, by the way, I'm the president now. You are not the president.
So, you know, he had this situation with several presidents, but maybe the most memorable was his relationship with George H.W. Bush. So initially, Carter goes down to supervise an election in Nicaragua and as a former president, monitor the election. And Daniel Ortega, the communist, loses. He's the incumbent, and he loses the election. And Carter stays up all night with Ortega, and he says, look, I know it's really hard to lose. I lost myself, but you just have to follow the election returns. And so Ortega did what Donald Trump did not do, and he relinquished power very, very reluctantly. Now he's back in. Years later, he's back in. But he left, and a woman named Violeta Chamorro became the new president. And George H.W. Bush, as he told me when I interviewed him not too long before he died, was thrilled with Carter. And James Baker, the Secretary of State, was too. He took this big problem they had in Central America off their desk, and they were thrilled. But then just a couple of years later, in 1991, when Bush went to war with Saddam Hussein in the Gulf War, Carter wrote a letter to other heads of state, the National Security Council members, saying, you know, don't vote for the resolution authorizing force. And there were people in the Bush administration who thought this was treasonous, you know, to have a former president basically violating the Logan Act doing this. And Bush himself told me, you know, we're only supposed to have one president at a time. And that was really undercutting me. And I didn't like it. But he finished the interview, though, by saying, notwithstanding how upset I was about Carter doing that, and Carter's excuses for it were not convincing when I asked him about it. Bush said, notwithstanding that, he was a much undervalued American president. And he did a lot of important things that are not recognized, both in office and after he left office. So Bush ended up admiring him despite having been undermined by him. And the same experience for Bill Clinton, who had a fraught relationship for many years with Jimmy Carter. But a couple of years ago when I went, my wife and I went to their 75th wedding anniversary a few years ago, to the surprise of the Carter family, Bill and Hillary Clinton went all the way to Plains, and they buried the hatchet after many years of very interesting tension between the two of them.
Jonathan Alter's book, His Very Best Jimmy Carter Life. Jonathan is with us. So let's talk about the speech in 79, which is viewed as the malaise speech, which you have pointed out and others have pointed out. He never used that exact word, but it was at a time in our country when our country was struggling, right, with inflation and unemployment, and people were questioning. Again, as you said, it was Carter up for the job? And, you know this extraordinarily well. Right now, if we're getting the truth from a politician, and too often it's the rarity, if you're getting the truth when it's a lot of difficult information to hear, but it's the reality, and we have to deal with it, that's so – it just doesn't happen. I mean, if you ask a politician now to admit a mistake, there's zero chance that is going to happen. What stands out about that speech, and is there any chance that type of speech could happen today?
No. So it was an extraordinary speech where he asked for sacrifice and said that the American people have become too materialistic and they needed to tighten their belts in the energy crisis and recognize that they needed to restore their faith in institutions. And he was telling the American people that part of the problem was them. And this was used by his political opponents to great effect. And it's just unimaginable today. So he has a line in his speech where he says, you know, he's come back from Camp David where he met with a great cross-section of people to talk about what was going wrong in his administration. And he said, I heard from a Southern governor who said, Mr. President, you are just managing the government, not leading. So can you imagine any president telling the American people, millions and millions of viewers,
acknowledging
my
that.
Critic said this, and he's probably right?
Yeah.
It's just unimaginable now. And so this speech is just a fascinating insight, not just into Carter's ability, willingness to accept accountability, and also what a bitter decade the 1970s were. And this speech, somebody should give it today, but nobody will.
Jonathan Alter, our guest. Jonathan, it was a pleasure. Great respect for your work over the years. Again, I would encourage people, when so many are discussing Jimmy Carter for all the valid reasons, if you want the book out there, this is a great one. His Very Best Jimmy Carter Life. Our guest, Jonathan Alter. Thank you very much for coming on, sir. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you. Thanks so much for having me.
Jonathan Alter here on CC. I want to say this briefly, and then I want your feedback. You heard Jonathan make this point, and it's been made, and I know when people pass away, we have a tendency, and it's a good tendency, to speak more glowingly about them. But Jimmy Carter and character and decency and respect and dignity, Dave, those words come out a lot, right?
Repeatedly.
I mean, and even those who hated everything he did as a president. Yeah, exactly. And by the way, he wasn't shy. And that doesn't mean there were people who all agree with him, right? And we can have this debate about the presidency. But how much does it really matter anymore? When people vote, and I know people can just assume it's Trump, and it's part of it is Trump, right? Because Trump doesn't care about decency, doesn't care about dignity, doesn't care about character. This is my opinion. You don't have to agree. He cares about winning, and he cares about doing the things that he thinks will benefit the country. And I'll just add, as I've added many times, what benefits him?
Yeah, there's a touch of that.
I think. I've said this many times, I think Donald wakes up every single day of his life. How will this day benefit me? And by the way, it's worked out well. He's worth a bill. He's going to be president for a second time. He's had a good life. But I think even a lot of the MAGA folks are willing to acknowledge, you know, this isn't maybe the guy I want my kids to grow up to be, but you know what? He's the guy I want to be president. And by the way, your vote matters every bit as much as mine. And I'm not saying that you end up voting for someone if you 100% disagree with them in every policy position. But how much does it really matter right now? Because Trump's character does bug me. And the things he says and he'll continue to say and belittles people and bullies people, I think it's pretty awful. But he just kicked his opponent's butt. If you go 7-0 in the swing states, that's a butt kick. And I know in the popular vote he barely won, but most people didn't have him winning. How much does it still matter right now? I'm going to vote for that person. Not only do I agree with most of the positions, but that person is also a decent individual. Have we lost that? Or is Trump a bit of an aberration in that way? And by the way, there are tens and tens of millions of people who don't agree with my position on Trump as a human. I get that. What do you want to say about that? So 24 past 2, I'd love a phone call or a text on this particular topic. 651-461-9226 on CCO. I like a lot of these tunes, I got to be honest.
Hey, there's a reason they're number ones.
Yep.
Crazy little thing called love.
Do I like more 70s music than 80s music?
I do.
You know, clearly, you know, Springsteen emerged. Was the start of U2. There was a lot of crap with Kansas and Journey and the Wagon.
That was no good. The hair bands, no good for the most part.
A texter here on the decency and character part, and I'd love more. I get it. In fact, as a separate topic, are you working today? What's your job? Because it seems like no one has been working for 2 weeks. That most people are just going to come back. I'm not sure they're going to come back Thursday and Friday. Maybe Thursday and Friday, more likely next Monday.
I think there's some people that might come back just to mail it in Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
But you're not really back to working until, what, the 6th, that Monday? Yeah.
Yeah. January 6th. Uh-oh. I mentioned this before. Would you want Tom Brady as your quarterback if you've been a complete jerk? Do people care as much in sports as they do in politics, or have we given up in both areas?
I think it's very similar. You care if he's not on your team. You know, what did we all always say about A.J. Pierzynski with the Twins?
Yep.
He's a jerk, but gotta love that he's on my team.
Yeah, I think there is truth to that. Some people might come back and say, well, do you really know who they are behind the scenes? And no, I make that point all the time. They're going to be even the closest friends of ours. Almost everybody in our life, are we really there at the house, at the apartment, the condo, whatever? No, we're not. Even if we're with them a lot. There's quite a few people in my life who I think I know extraordinarily well. I still could be shocked by things behind the scenes. I don't think Donald is trying to hide anything. Who's the last, super prominent athlete who had success, whether individually or collectively, who was just viewed as a jerk? In basketball, like somebody who's really, like, I could give you names that I know well, but, you know, like Dylan Brooks, like for the Rockets. You know, KG's perception among us who were on the Wolves changed because he did change. For the first 7, 8, 9 years, he was such a fun guy to be around. And the last few years was not enjoyable. But
did the fans pick up on that, though? Because I thought his attitude, at least towards the fans, was always...
I think it stayed pretty good.
Fairly positive.
I do, right? And that's the thing. If you're behind the scenes, you might see it. Public might say that's not I don't really care about that. Is there an NFL player who's viewed as a jerk and is great and has won a lot? I don't know. In sports, you can be the bad boy. Like Chuck, when he was playing, I'm not a role model.
Yeah.
But he did it with a wink. And Chuck's one of the greatest guys ever. So he would be the fake. I mean, he was a real tough guy and did some things where he threw people through a glass window and was arrested a few times.
That's not great.
Not a great idea.
Now, in hockey, you can be the tough guy. You can be the fighter. You can be the bully and be very popular.
You can, but a lot of those guys are just the tough guy on the ice. But then when they're interviewed or they're involved in community things, they're good guys. So they play that part. I think in politics, it's just, I don't know. You know, Trump is such a divisive figure. What percentage of his voters think he is a person filled with character, dignity, and respect?
Are they being honest when you ask them the question?
If they're actually being honest.
Probably a higher number than we would wish it would be.
50?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether to go over or under that. That's hard. Because I think most people, if they're given the truth serum, will say, no, I think he's a jerk. I think he does things that are despicable, says things that are despicable. But I approve of his policies, and I'm willing to turn a blind eye to all the rest of it.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that, you know what you do? There's an issue, let's say you're Republican, right? You believe in smaller government, less taxing, less regulations, and you have somebody who's running for this position, state Senate seat or something, right? And the person who you normally vote for is a jerk, but the other person, the Democrat, who you just don't agree with on 95% of the policy positions, is a great human, and you're just going to move the other way. I just think when you have multiple options, if you do have multiple options and we don't have enough, that's when you say, you know what, they're fairly close in position and character, decency, and respect should matter. Because to me, it should matter for this position.
Seemed like it mattered 4 years ago, right? I don't think most of the country went for Joe Biden because of his inventive policies.
I think a lot of that, though, was
Uncle Joe.
It was likable Joe, but a lot of it was anyone but Trump.
Yes. And now we're 4 years later, and it's anyone but Trump. Well, except for Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Or would have been Joe Biden before he dropped out. It was, well, maybe this whole nice guy thing isn't really what it all cracked up to be.
Aaron Rodgers, someone suggests. Aaron Rodgers is becoming really controversial. Favre is controversial because of the welfare situation.
Yeah, I mean, there was stuff before that. It was, you know, the
Jen Sturger.
Was, you know, the pills, the Vicodin.
Some people think of Knobloch, right? Texter clearly wasn't listening to you. Biden's inventive policies, what the hell are you smoking? You were being sarcastic.
There was a touch
when you
of
said that.
Yes.
There was like 99% sarcasm. In fact, you said, I don't think people were voting for them. So listening, underrated skill. Leitner, Leitner, who now has become a decent guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a prick. I mean, he was just a lousy human being.
Loser.
And as a person who dealt with him behind the scenes. But I guess it's turned more into athletes than politicians. Like, do we have a politician in this town where even people within her or his party, they don't care for, they still vote? Because we have, you know, there are plenty of Republicans who can't stand walls right now.
Yeah.
Right? Are there a lot of Democrats who can't stand walls? Like, the most visible Republican in the state is probably what? Emmer right now? There are a lot of Democrats who don't like Tom. Are there a lot of Republicans who don't like him?
I don't think so.
Kind of the start of what you said. People care more about the character when it's somebody you already policy-wise don't agree with.
Yes, Matt Gaetz might be the one guy that's jumped over that line that even the Republicans said, okay, this guy's trash.
Yeah, yeah. There could be a few other people in that category, too. RFK Jr. might be another one. It's a 36 past 2. You want to add any more suggestions? You certainly can. 651-461-9226. We need to ban this. I can't hear that tongue thing anymore.
That has to be part of the show open.
Oh, my God. More bad guy athletes. Delmon Young. Was that from the kicking incident in the minor leagues? Remember, it was a bad call, and then he just kicked the umpire right in the chest? Was it the umpire
no,
or the catcher?
He threw the bat back, didn't he?
Who am I thinking of letting a bad call just kick the guy
yeah,
right in the chest?
I remember that. I don't think that was Delmon.
That's not Delmon?
No, I think Delmon tossed a bat. I don't think he meant to, you know, kind of tossed it backwards and hit somebody.
Somebody's saying Denny Hockey. Denny got an usher fired when he asked him to speak at a dinner. Come on, it had to be a little more than that, right?
Utility man coming for you.
Yeah, could you speak at a dinner? You're fired! There's got to be a little more layers.
Denny, who got injured in the pileup after the A's or the Twins beat the A's in the ALDS.
Yeah, until 2 years ago, that was your last victory, right? Driving a garbage truck. Yeah?
Okay.
Can I give you a quick garbage truck story? I didn't get my garbage out on time last week.
Uh-oh.
And things were a little full with Christmas.
That tends to happen.
Yeah. So it really wasn't a good idea. You know what costs a lot? When you call said garbage company and ask them to come out another time. It was about $400,000. I said, I guess I'm going to wait.
Can we talk for a moment about big garbage?
Big garbage. Let's go.
Because I've been thinking about
it. I couldn't. It was $200.
Yeah.
I said, I'll make it work.
Yeah.
That was going to be my tipping point to bankruptcy, but just on principle, like, no, I'm not doing that.
So you get a day, holiday during the middle of the week like we had last week, like we have this week, Wednesday. There's no garbage pickup, obviously. So if Wednesday's your day, you put it out on Thursday, right?
Yeah, I put it out Thursday, just not in time. Apparently they showed up at 4 in the morning or something.
But, where does the extra day then fit in?
Yeah.
Because then, Thursday is still Thursday.
Well, yeah. Elon Musk,
I'm just trying to...
Is this Doge right here?
I think there's a scam within big garbage telling us that they need these 5 days to pick up. But if there's a holiday, yeah, we can still do it in 4. That's fine.
There's a lot of monopoly situation with big garbage, too, right? You know, wherever you live, it's not like you have 7, 8 choices.
Oh, we've got all the choices.
Do you?
And it is kind of annoying. There's...
At least
four different companies that go around our neighborhood.
We don't have that.
Do you have the whole citywide thing? The city's got the contract with whoever it is?
It's like a monopoly.
Are you against monopoly or pro-monopoly?
I'm against them. I'd like more options and lower prices.
Okay, well.
Apparently these choices are too complicated for you.
Well, I made the change last year when I realized, wow, I'm getting hosed.
Working at a drug testing facility, my boss has been out of the office since the 20th and won't be back until the 3rd. Since it's a holiday, glad someone could celebrate.
Back on the 3rd? So the boss is just coming in to mail it in on a Friday and then take a weekend?
What do you think about that, mailing it, the Friday appearance? Because I initially last week was going to work Monday, not work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And the Friday, we got so many build-ins.
Yeah.
Right?
It's an easy show for you.
Yeah, and
I don't have to do any work.
I like it. And plus, Shaletta showed. So let's deviate for a second on Shaletta here. Shaletta, told by me on air, told by you what, in a text? The schedule.
I don't know if I told her in a text, but we told her in person.
Yeah. Then she could have listened.
Could have.
And she shows up, and Dave's in, and instead of sitting down with Dave, she turns around and walks out of the studio and then sends me text mad at me.
Oh, she's delivered your banana pudding
over
to Lindsay
Peterson.
Yeah, and
I missed out on banana pudding. So the Friday, do you like the squeeze in the Friday, or is it just ridiculous?
I think that's a little silly. Just come back Monday.
I'm working from the comfort of my home on like I do every day while I listen to Jason DeRusha whine and complain about me not coming back into the office. Yeah, I did that for a long time, and then Jason, I turned it over to Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think 2025 is going to be more of a work in the office year as a person who's about to not work in the office for about 2 months is offering this question?
Yeah, I keep mentioning that. That's great. That makes us all feel good here.
I won't mention it too often. How often did I mention it when I was out there last year?
Well, you didn't mention a whole lot while you're out there, but you sure do love mentioning it now that you're looking forward to it.
Well, I mentioned it a lot to you off air.
Yeah, I did hear that a lot. That's true. Yeah. Wow, you should really see the view out here. The sunshine is just, I might have a burn.
Woo! A little more sunblock.
Yeah, a little tough. More people are going to come back.
Not by a lot, though, right?
No, probably not. But, I mean, we saw big companies making the move last year.
Trump is threatening to fire any federal government worker who doesn't work in the office. Again, it sounds good. And I want more people to come back, for sure. And maybe it's just 3 days a week, whatever it might be. But, and I do think we can slow down. We absolutely have to slow down the growth of government all across government. It's absurd what is going on. But if we have some individuals, Dave, who are really good at what they do, and there is no reason for them to go in the office, I want them to show up a little bit, but just to automatically fire them. If you're the GM or the president, are you going to be the person saying, no matter what, I'm firing you unless you come back? Because we're seeing some of that. I don't know if they all follow through on it, though. And sure, I would like more people down here as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This week's an aberration. We know what it's like down here. It's quiet Monday. It's a little busier down here today than I expect, just from judging some of the parking lots. But normally, downtown Minneapolis lasts, what would you say, a year and a half? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. 75% of what it once was? Somewhere in there? 70?
Yeah, maybe a little less.
Okay. Monday, Friday, a third?
Yeah, Monday better than Friday.
Yeah.
Forget about it on Friday.
Yeah. Let's see. Talking about actors who are tough to deal with. When Mr. Rogers went on a bender, he could be a real handful on the set.
Give me my card again.
Yeah. A-Rod, somebody mentions. Speaking of A-Rod, when are we getting our Timberwolves settlement, by the way? Timberwolves announcement.
Wasn't the word that it was now going to wait till early next year?
What is taking so long?
A lot of mediation.
These are shrewd individuals. One, Kathleen Blatz, who I know, I would say, reasonably well. I used to, her late husband, Wheelock Whitney, was a great, great friend of mine. Love him, miss him, amazing human being. It's been 7-8 weeks, right?
It's been several weeks, but my insiders say they obviously, Glenn and the A-Rod Lori team both really obviously wanted the team. That's why they're having the fight, especially after last year. And now they've seen the team play this year, and they're all like, you take them. No, you take them. Yeah. No, you take them.
I knew it was going to take a few weeks. I just did not think it would take quite this long.
I thought there was a time limit on it, wasn't there?
Well, because it still eventually has to be turned over to the NBA Board of Governors, and they potentially could say no. I think it's going to be harder now just because of the other wealthy individuals that A-Rod and Lori have lined up. But there's a bit of hyperbole on that, too, because you have Bloomberg, right? Bloomberg's worth Carter money?
Yeah.
110 bills, something like that? Well, he only owns, what does somebody tell me, like 3% of the A-Rod Lori group? He's not going to put in like 70% of the money unless, guess what? He gets 70% of the ownership.
Is that not how it works?
And same thing with Eric Schmidt, because I keep hearing people read people, well, now that I got this, it's all. Yeah. Bloomberg, if A-Rod and Lori will sell him 70%, he's going to put in that money. He's not just going to put in that money just because he really likes those guys. If you want to just send us money because you like us, that's fine.
It's a great deal.
We would gladly accept it. Funky Town, tremendous. It's us.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the folks behind it again? I'll recognize once you say it.
Lips Incorporated.
That's
two
right.
P's on your lips.
L-I-P-P.
Minneapolis' own.
Are you with Dave Harrigan and I? 70s music better than 80s music. Text away 651-461-9226. I've enjoyed every single one of the number one hits you've played today.
It's because I have a tremendous curator of good music.
Yeah, I mean, you just have the ear.
Yeah.
Jimmy Jam reaches out to you often. Not a lot of people realize that.
It's true.
You know?
Yeah. Several of his hits, he's, you know, played for me. He's given me the you know, kind of the rough copy. I said, you know, Jimmy, I call him Jimmy. We're very close.
Yeah.
Or just Jam.
I think you call him Jim.
Yeah. James.
Yeah.
Sit down.
There was a time when he thought about dumping Terry for you. He doesn't talk about that a lot.
Well, you've heard of a ghostwriter? I'm a ghost producer.
Ghost producer.
Okay. Let's just say me and Janet have talked a little behind the scenes. I recommended a few tweaks. Her career really took off.
When did you offer those tweaks? Last 5 years or so? Because it's really not taken off.
No, long ago.
Long ago.
Yeah. I was very young.
Rhythm Nation?
Very young.
Oh, were you like four at that point?
Give or take.
Exactly. 70s music, Texas says, way better than the 80s. I agree.
Most everything 70s is way better than the 80s, right?
I would say this. For me, with no responsibility, and compared to the impact of like when I had my kids or I got married, my senior year of high school in 1983 was the most fun year I've ever had in my life.
Man, you're old.
What's that?
It's a man, you're old.
I am old. 1983, baby. But again, when Kansas and Journey and Asia and that crap would come on the air, boom, I switched that baby fast in my 1980 Olds Calais.
Sounds classy.
I drove it a number of times with my father. I had no idea. He just left the keys right there. He was gone most of the time at a game. And
sure.
Yeah, so I'm advocating driving before you have a driver's
license. And you were just happy to not have to go to the game.
I was. There were too many damn games. I was kidding the older boys on Christmas. One of them failed the driver's test three times. One of them failed the driver's test twice. Did you pass the driver's test your first time? Please tell me you did.
Yes, I did.
Laura Oaks, did you pass the driver's test the first time?
Indeed, I did.
Thank you. I think all of us back then did. I don't buy that the instructors are that harder. I think we're just superior drivers.
I think so. My brother failed his first time.
Oh, I hope.
And I never let him forget about that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Hunter, one time we were at the hit where the hidden target is in Medina, was turning into a parking spot and clearly was not going to turn sharp enough. And we were about to hit a car. And I said, you got to turn sharper. And then I finally yelled, stop. He didn't like it. He did not like it. He got out of the car and he walked home.
Wow.
Yes. By the time I got home, he goes, I probably shouldn't have walked home. He said, probably not. I wouldn't hit the car. I go, you were going to hit the door. I go, you weren't going to hit the wheel. It wasn't going to be
broadside the thing.
You're going to broadside the car, you know? So maybe I traumatized him, and that's why he failed the test three times.
I can't believe you would do that.
No, I would never do that. Hey, we're done. Heinze's in. Tomorrow, how about this one? We brought Pete Carter in. He's not doing a show, but he's doing Ask Adam Anything.
You're unbelievable.
Yeah. And then Yukis, we don't know.
No, she's in.
Oh, she's in.
She's in.
Jamie's in. All right, some of the regulars. And we'll talk a little New Year's Eve if you're going out, if you enjoy that. Heinze and Laura next on CCO.